Let's turn to, I'm going to start with a text. It's one of those times of year, isn't it, where we're between Christmas and New Year, and I mean, we're not a massive amount of people this morning, but one of the things that some of us turn to as we start to think about the New Year, and although in eternity, time has no beginning and no end, for us, we sort of think, oh, it's a New Year. Perhaps we could look at making some resolutions or thinking about what we might do differently. And so I want to just not tell you that you haven't got to make resolutions, right? That's not what we're saying. But what I am doing is I'm trying to point us in the direction of what might be a good resolution or some good resolutions for us, particularly as we are ambassadors for Christ. So let's turn to 2 Corinthians 5. And we will read from verse 16. And it says this: from now on, therefore, we regard no one according to the flesh. Even though we once regarded Christ according to the flesh, we regard him thus no longer. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has passed away. Behold, the new has come. All this is from God, who through Christ reconciled us to himself and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. That is, in Christ, God was reconciling the world to himself, not counting their trespasses against them, and entrusting to us the message of reconciliation. Therefore, we are ambassadors for Christ, God making his appeal through us. We implore you on behalf of Christ, be reconciled to God. For our sake he made him to be sin who knew no sin, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. As we come and as we are about to enter a new year, I want us just to remember that, and we know it, but we are ambassadors for Christ. We are people who represent the kingdom of God. We may represent the kingdom of God well, we may represent it badly, but we represent the kingdom of God. And so, I'm going to point us in direction of some things that we might want to do as we enter into this new year. The first one is this: resolve to forget the past and to look forward and honour God more. It tells us in Philippians 3, verse 13, "Brothers, I do not consider that I have made it my own. But one thing I do, forgetting what lies behind and straining forward to what lies ahead, I press on toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus." Now, Paul's not saying that he forgets his past and he can't remember it, because all of us can remember things that have taken place this year, maybe last year, maybe in years gone by, particularly those things that perhaps have been of difficulty to us or caused us pain or anguish. Paul remembers that he was someone who persecuted the church, but he's saying, in effect, I'm refusing to let what took place in the past control what is coming into the future. See, some of us, we do get caught up in the past, and it's easy to do that, and we perhaps feel a sense of trapped in that. But we don't need to keep replaying our past sins. If we've confessed them, God has forgiven us. We don't need to worry about past failures. Sometimes we have failed and we always think, oh, we can never change that. No, we don't need to worry about past failures. And we don't need to worry about past hurts, because God is able to heal us in this. You see, it's very difficult to move forward if we're constantly looking back. Jesus spoke about this in a parable. He said, if we're looking back, how can you progress forward? And it's the same when you are, when I cut the grass at home. I know I'm not doing this time of year, but if I want to get straight lines in the grass, I have to focus on a point over there and walk towards it. Whereas if I'm looking down or looking, have I done that straight? I'm never going to cut that line straight. We have to press on and look ahead. And 2026 gives us this opportunity to perhaps think and say, okay, Lord, the past is gone. I'm choosing not to forget it. I can't forget it. It's part of me. It's part of my makeup. But what I'm choosing to do is to say, I'm going to press forward in your name and look to what you're going to do in 2026. My past does not define me. The cross of Jesus Christ, his blood cleanses us and his grace restores us. We no longer need to look back. We can look forward. Now, there's always going to be people that are going to bring up our past, but we can say, I can't change that. But what I can change is how I view it and how I look forward in his Son and in his forgiveness. Or perhaps we need to resolve, so that's the first thing, resolve to forget the past and to move forward. Perhaps we need to resolve to live for Christ before the world. Again, Paul writes in Philippians 1 verse 21, for me to live is Christ and to die is gain. Paul's not talking about religion. He's not saying, for me to live is religion and to be as religious as possible. Or for me to live is to be successful and be successful as possible. Or for me to live, it's family. Or for me to live, it's comfort. What he says is, for me to live is Christ. It's one of those things that we are ambassadors for Christ. We are those who represent the kingdom of God. And people, whether we like it or not, will judge Christianity based upon our actions. And that's why Paul calls us ambassadors. We are those to be representatives of Christ. Now, that's not saying we don't always get it right and we've got this ability to repent and to ask God for forgiveness. But imagine this. Imagine if you had someone who followed you around for a week. They watched how we spoke. They watched how we spent our time. They watched how we handled pressure. They watched what we watched. They watched what we clicked. They watched what we laughed at. Would they draw the conclusion of our lives that we are Christians, that we are ambassadors for Christ? Let us resolve in this coming year that our faith is not going to be something that's private, that it is not going to be even just like a hobby, but it's going to be something that is a reality in our lives. Now, that doesn't mean being arrogant or obnoxious, but it means being people of integrity. It means, and these are hard things to sort of perhaps do when we're in these situations, but being kind when we're in queues, when we're in traffic, wherever it might be. You know, those things that perhaps be honest when it would be easier to lie and say something that perhaps gets us out of it. Be pure in a world that laughs at purity. And speak the name of Jesus, not only inside church, but outside of church. What about resolving to trust God with a strong faith? Hebrews 11 verse 1 says this, now faith is the assurance of things hoped for the conviction of things not seen. Now faith is not closing your eyes and going, please God, please God, please God, and just wishing as hard as possible. Faith is taking God's word, and when we cannot see how things will work out, trusting him that through his word, when he says that we cannot be snatched out of his hand, when Jesus Christ is with us, when he sent the helper, that we will see things work out, that we will get through the situation with him. Everyone listening, everyone online, everyone in our society will face situations this year that are going to tempt us to fear. And fear is always saying, what if? And then we'll make the worst outcome possible. But faith says, even if. It's not what if, it's even if. God is still good. God is still wise. God is still in control. And God's promises are still sure to the end. If you read on Hebrews 11 when we went through it a few years ago, you'll see there's just a list of ordinary men and women who trusted in God who said even if rather than what if. They all believed God, what he'd said, and what more than their eyes could see. Let us also, as we move on, resolve to be faithful in worship. Hebrews 10 verse 25 says this, not neglecting to meet together, as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day drawing near. Early Christianity was a very risky business. It wasn't legalized as it is today. It wasn't allowed. It was one of those things that could cost your life, meeting together. It was risky. It ostracized you from society. And people really did take it out on you. And so some had made it a habit of not meeting together. Some had made it a habit of saying, well, it's only this Sunday I'm going to miss. Or I can worship God anywhere. Yes, we can and we should worship God individually. But the New Testament points us and encourages us to come together as a church. To come together and be together. Being disconnected and not gathering with the people of God is not something that is common in the New Testament. It's not what it points to. Now, I know they didn't have online and I know they didn't have YouTube they could catch up with. But the reality is that even if they'd have had that, the idea of being a Christian community is, in one sense, at the heart of what it means to be a Christian. When we gather together, we can exalt God together in a way that we can't do just on our own. See, when we're on our own, we mainly sing our favourite songs rather than be challenged in worship because of something the song has said. When we gather together, we can encourage one another and pray together. Prayer is an incredible gift that's been given us by God. When we gather together, we can hear the word preached, hopefully, as it was meant and in its truth, not as somebody thinks it should stand for. And this is all the more important, as this word says, as we prepare for that great day. See, Jesus said there'd be wars, rumours of wars, famines, earthquakes, and they were like the birth pains. Well, those of you that have had children know that they come quicker and quicker and quicker. And that's what the word is really implying, that all of these things that we're seeing around the world, they're coming quicker and quicker and quicker. Now, I'm not saying Jesus is coming back in 2026 because no one knows the time or the day. But what we do know is that that great day is one day closer than it was yesterday. And it'll be another day closer tomorrow. And in 2026, when we celebrate that on this week on Thursday, it will be one more year closer to when he returns. We are ambassadors. We are those who are there to represent our God and the kingdom of God. The other thing we do when we come together is it helps us to bear one another's burdens. So this year, Galatians 6 verse 2 tells us to bear one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ. Let's resolve this coming year to bear one another's burdens. The law of Christ is the law of love. It is the law of loving one another as he loved us. How did he love us? He loved us that even when we were against him, he still forgave us. Now a burden, that's something that's heavy, something that weighs a person down so much they struggle to carry it on their own. It could be grief, it could be illness, it could be a family crisis, it could be depression, it could be temptation, it could even be financial strain. Whatever that looks like, we are encouraged by Scripture to bear one another's burdens, to help each other. That's not to say to remove it and pretend it's not there and forget it. That's not what it's saying. It's helping us to, it's encouraging us to help one another. Church is not a place where you just come, smile, sing a few songs, listen to what someone's got to say and then go home. No, church is meant to be a place where we can pray with someone, It's not just saying we'll pray with you or I'll pray for you, but it's saying, well, let's pray now. Let's not put it off. Let's pray now. It might be providing some practical help, whatever that looks like, or sending a message on WhatsApp or a text message, whatever it might be, just reminding them that you are thinking of them this week. And also it is about restoring those who have struggled and stumbled, not ostracising them. Many people in our society struggle silently because no one's asked them, how are you really doing? And really prepared and cared for the answer that might come. Let's be those who wait for the answer when we ask that question and really encourage each other. And let us this year, and this will be the focus of our prayer, and I'll finish with this one. Let us resolve this coming year to faithfully witness to the unsaved. Psalm 126, verse 5 and 6 says this: those who sow in tears shall reap with shouts of joy. He who goes out weeping, bearing the seed for sowing, shall come home with shouts of joy, bringing his sheaves with him. It's clear that the picture here is a farmer who is going out with his seed that he's got. It's costly, and it leaves his hand as he scatters it on the ground. And he's trusting God that God will send the rain and the sun for that to grow so there will be a harvest. And it's obvious, and we've heard it before, but if you never sow, you'll never reap. If you never tell people about Jesus Christ, we will never reap. Now, we might say, well, I've never reaped in all these years anyway, Brian. It's just, you know, I've been telling people about Jesus and it's never happened. But we keep on sowing that one day the hope that we might reap. We hold in our precious hands the seed of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And it's up to us to sow it properly and correctly. Now, when we look at the parable of sower, and we could launch into that, we wouldn't scatter seed on a concrete ground and expect it to grow. So we have to be careful where and how we sow our seed. It has to be appropriate when we are talking about Jesus. But when we get those opportunities, let us not shy away from them. There are people in our life, perhaps our family, our friends, our neighbours, our colleagues, who don't know Jesus Christ. And the reality is, if nothing changes, they step into eternity not knowing him at some point. The sower, he goes out crying. He goes out weeping, it says. This is not sort of cold, we have to do some sort of evangelism. This is a heart for the people that they are lost. God is not asking us to win arguments. Christianity isn't about who can win the best argument. You can go online, you can see people on Speaker's Corner arguing with Muslims. And it's not an argument. I think it was Nicky Gumbel said, no one's ever been won in an argument. Now, you don't get to a point where someone lays their trump card of Christianity on the table and someone says, oh, go on then, I'll be a Christian. It's a change of heart. It's showing people that we are bearing witness. We're to do that by sharing what Jesus has done for us. It might be that we invite them to church or to a church event. We can even offer to pray for someone who's struggling. And maybe, if we feel it's appropriate, giving them a Bible or a tract. But don't just give them a Bible or a tract. Put something personal, a note in it, or something like that, that tells them how to do it, how to read it, or why you're giving it to them. So there you go, 6 possible resolutions that we can be better ambassadors for Christ as we enter into 2026. Forget the past, press forward. Live for Christ before the world, trusting in him with a strong faith, being faithful in our worship, bearing one another's burdens, and being faithful witnesses to the unsaved. Because it tells us in 2 Corinthians 5 verse 20, therefore we are ambassadors for Christ, God making his appeal through us. We implore you on behalf of Christ, be reconciled to God. Prep the worship team, please. Father, as we enter into 2026 and all that it might have, might carry, that we don't know, Lord, we know it's in your hands. Into your hands I commit again my life. Lord, perhaps I know in your eternity, Father, 2026 is it's just another year, it's just another day. But for us, Lord, it defines a boundary. And so, Lord, we forget what's happened in 2025. Not forget it as in we will never remember it again, but not letting it define us. And we press forward into 2026 and saying that will not define us. Jesus Christ and his word will define us. And Lord, we pray as we witness and as we declare you as Lord and Saviour, we pray that this year, Lord, there will be sowing and reaping, that Father, we will see people saved. Father, we thank you that you've saved each one of us, and we commit ourselves to you this coming year anew and afresh. In your Son's precious name. Amen.